It's Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Unlimited Life. I am so thrilled and so excited for today's guest, because when you talk about an unlimited life, how do you get through those barriers, those walls, those hurdles? How do you turn things into a gate so you can pause for a moment and then walk through? What are the tools, the techniques, and the secrets to really having that unlimited, unbridled life, whether that's financial, spiritual, or most importantly, your health? And today we're talking with Dr. Namira Aliboy, and it's amazing because she came on our other show, and we were talking on the Hourglass Bride show about consciously creating a better lifestyle and how you do that for yourself and for your future family. And I've never come across a doctor more dedicated to really making that happen for you. She's absolutely incredible. She became a chiropractor really because it was the very first time, and even listening to her, that the values and the philosophies of profession really lined up with the values and the philosophies about life. And she comes from a very spiritual place, and she really has believed from the get-go that our bodies are created to last, and that if we really take care of them as we were designed to, that they would function well throughout our entire lifetime. And it's amazing because when she talks about it, how our body is a really beautifully organized collection of atoms, and she talks about the huge contradiction of the philosophy in chiropractic care, from people that feel that they need to get adjusted regularly to the difference to somebody becoming whole and well and actually just being checked to check in on their wellness, to check in on their health, to check in on the alignment of their spirit and their soul, and that very often it's neurological competencies that need to be adjusted, and they really adjust the healing capacity of the body. She's incredible. She talks about fostering a new generation of healthy kids. And one of my favorite things that I read about her, she talks about kids who will be able to experience a life and a body that was created to last from the very get-go. And I remember that she was saying that, she, you know, so many times that we think about nursery colors and registry items and all these frivolous things that really aren't going to matter in a few years. But imagine how you could affect the health of your children for their entire life if you spend that very same amount of time and energy preparing for the baby's first home, which is the mother's womb. So from consciousness to creation to being able to bring forth life itself and the nurturing and the unfoldment of life itself, I am thrilled to talk to today's guest on conscious living, conscious creation, and wholeness and wellness, Dr. Namira. Dr. Namira, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Nicole. I'm so excited to be here.
Your work is amazing. You came onto our show, onto an Hourglass Bride show, and I cannot tell you how many calls we've had about your show, and people are like, where is she located, and where can I go? And because it is that, not just the idea and ideal, but the truth that we can be well. We can be healthy. We can't. So many people are achy, painy. You hear somebody say, oh, when I was young, I used to be able to do this, or I used to be able to do that. And instead of joy, happiness, vim, vigor, radiance, vitality, life. And I know that you've dedicated your practice and, you know, your many years of study to being able to have people and create a healthy and a happy life and lifestyle for individuals and for couples. So tell me a little bit about your journey and your work.
My journey. I actually grew up in the exact opposite lifestyle. My family grew up with a lot of...
You ate Twinkies for breakfast?
No Twinkies for breakfast, but they were definitely in my diet. And I definitely grew up, you know, in late elementary school and junior high school, we drank a can of Pepsi a day. Like, that was what we did when we came home for after school with our snack. And, you know, there's so many different things that we didn't know any better. And that was just what our parents did for us. They did mostly what everybody else was doing and what people said was okay. And there wasn't really this huge knowledge base of what's really, really good for you, what your body can get away with, and what's really going to make your body suffer when it comes to the long-term consequences of all these foods that we're eating and that are staples in our diet. And so it took a car accident that I was in high school, right after high school, for me to even figure out what chiropractic is, because I'd never heard of it. And it was at that point where someone just told me the basic idea that chiropractic was about the idea that our brain and nervous system are responsible for everything in our body, and that our body is self-healing, self-organizing, self-maintaining. And I was like, oh my gosh, that makes sense. That's what I believe.
Can you, I'm going to back you up just a second. I'm sorry, because I think that those are three distinct phrases that are important. So what did you say? Self-healing,
self-motivating,
self-organizing.
Self-organizing. And self-maintaining.
Wow. That's important. And what a process to be able to think that our body can do all that.
Absolutely. It's one of those funny things I tell people. You know, I'm always amazed when I wake up every morning. And it's not that you take your first breath when you open your eyes. You've actually been breathing all night long, and you didn't have to think about it. Your body did that all on its own. You know, we talk about how we wake up in the morning, we're so excited we're breathing. And, you know, we woke up to live another day. But we were living all night long, too. We just didn't have to think about it.
So, okay, so you were in this accident, and, you know, I was, you know, in a terrible accident, so I know what it's like to have
right.
a life-changing event. And somebody recommended chiropractic, and it was something new that you hadn't heard of. And you went there, and the journey began?
Yeah, and the journey began. And, you know, from that point, I knew that it was something that I wanted to do because it lined up with my philosophies about life. I mean, I didn't want to go through life with just a degree where I had a job, and it's just not my, you know, it's not in my DNA. Like, I can't function if I don't have a purpose. And my purpose at this point, which I learned recently, is really to help build, help foster a new generation of naturally healthy kids. But backtracking, I just wanted to make sure that I could help people, which is something I've always wanted to do, and do it from a place that lined up with my own beliefs. And so I actually ended up finishing my undergrad, and I went to chiropractic school, and I still didn't know too much about chiropractic, I'll be honest. It just kind of, the philosophy made sense, so I went. You know, I didn't have anybody in my family that was a chiropractor, and my car accident wasn't really a life-changing experience in terms of I was hurt so badly that chiropractic saved my life. I just got lucky where I went to a chiropractor, and he bothered to educate me about what chiropractic really is and what it's all about. And it's this idea that our brain and our nervous system control everything in the body. And so we should look to it first instead of trying to do everything else. And when I got there, I learned about this idea. And we started, you know, you start learning about all the different techniques to adjust and this, that, and the other. And you learn about protocols of care, and people were talking about maintenance care and getting adjusted regularly to maintain your health. And I was like, well, that part doesn't make sense to me. You know, I believe that our bodies were created to last, and I don't believe we should rely on any doctor to keep us healthy. Our body should be able to do that on its own. That was the whole purpose. We're self-organizing, self-maintaining, and self-healing. And so I was a little confused when I got to that point, but luckily a friend took me to a seminar about something called upper cervical care, and that's the type of chiropractic that I practice right now. And the type of chiropractic I practice right now has this belief that our body is always trying to be adaptable. Our brain and our nervous system organizes everything, but it's also what keeps us adaptable. And so instead of looking to the spine to say where are the misalignments, we're actually looking at the top of the neck. The very top actually protects our brainstem. And every message in our body, except for smell, I believe, goes through that brainstem. And so we're looking at the neurology to see how is our neurology functioning and is it keeping us adaptable? Because that's the whole point. That's how we function. And so upper cervical care ends up being about looking at the neurology, making sure it's adaptable, and if it's not adaptable, then we adjust. If it's stuck, we adjust. Absolutely. But if it's still adaptable, even if it's stressed out.
I'm going to jump in here really quick to ask, because I know that our listeners, you know, be very curious. So upper cervical care, and you're dealing with the neurology, and so how can you tell if it's adaptable?
Right.
How do you know that your body's healthy and well, or that it, that your consciousness, your spirit, your soul, your everything is in alignment.
It's working. And that's kind of the nerdy part of what I do, because I talk about all the time, you know, I come from this very spiritual place that I believe that we were created to last. But the really nerdy scientific part of me goes, well, we're just a bunch of atoms and we just happen to be beautifully organized. And so upper cervical work really loves using the science to say, how is the neurology functioning? And so we use something called infrared thermography. And what that does is it gives us, it's a scanner that shows me how the brain is sending messages to the body. And we're looking at them over different periods of time to see what the scan looks like. And over time, if I see different scans showing up, that tells me our body is adaptable because the scan is always changing. But many times when people come in for the first time, I'll take a scan when I first see them, and then I'll take one like 30 minutes later, and then I'll take one when they come back on a follow-up visit, and you'll see the same scan come up. And it's the same pattern. And that's how we can see that our body is actually stuck in a pattern. That means over that period of time, your body hasn't been able to change to help function or heal or do anything. We're just stuck. And so that's when we can see how that neurology is functioning. That's how we know to make an adjustment. And then when we're done making the adjustment and the patient rests, you go back and take another scan and see that we actually affected the neurology, which means the scan should have changed. So that's how we can use science to really look at how our body's functioning and if it's stuck or if it's adapting.
So should it be, like, if I come in and I just got a raise or I had crazy wild sex or something amazing happened or, you know, whatever that is,
mm-hmm.
and the scan is one way, and then all of a sudden I get a phone call and something happened, will the scan show something different 30 minutes later? Does it affect the emotional system as well?
Absolutely. I always say that, you know, the neurology is affected by three things. We call them thoughts, traumas, and toxins, or chemical, physical, and emotional changes. So that's, you know, your physical are the ones most people know about, that your slips, falls, car accidents, all those things, birth and labor, huge for moms and babies. But the emotional is a huge thing as well. You know, you have depression, anxiety. If you have a loss in the family, that can affect your body as well. And so I actually, the biggest thing I love about upper cervical and how we see that the body is adapting is that when most people go to the doctor, even the regular chiropractor, they walk in, they get on a table, they look for misalignments, they adjust, and you walk out the door. But many times people are totally stressed out when they walk in the office because they may have been late to the appointment, they, you know, are trying to squeeze in the appointment on a lunch break, they couldn't find parking when they got there, and their body is already hyped up in this fight-or-flight mechanism. Your sympathetic nervous system is already through the roof. And so we're checking you from that point. But when I have patients come into the office, I actually will get that baseline scan of seeing what they look like when they walk through the door. But then I have every single one of my patients rest on a resting chair in the resting suite in this zero-gravity chair. So they're laying on their back. There's a pillow under their neck that gets pressure off the brainstem, and they rest for 15 minutes. And for me, rest is one of the most important parts of our health and our healing. There's this great Chinese proverb that says, tension is who you think you should be, but relaxation is who you are. And so
wow. We
can't check what our bodies look like to see, you know, what they're capable of unless we're checking them from a place of rest. Otherwise, who knows if you're adapting? And so then after they rest for 15 minutes, I'll scan them again. And many times 15 minutes of rest can change a scan. And that's how I know that their body is still adaptable and that they don't need to be adjusted. But if 15 minutes of rest can't change that scan, then you know they're probably stuck. And that's when I can make a correction and have them rest again to let their body accept the correction.
Wow. And so when people get stuck, what causes stuck?
So stuck comes from those three things, the thoughts, traumas, and toxins. So physically, it may not be a major car accident, but if you're one of those people who left high school and went to college for like 4 to 8 years with your head in a book or at a computer, and then you got a job and you sit at the computer all day long, and your head is in this horrible forward posture that we call it all the time, and you don't move around, you can literally look in the mirror and see that your head is forward on your shoulders. That's just your body in this horrible misalignment. And that top bone on the neck, in the neck, it's putting so much pressure on the brainstem that you're probably not getting the proper messages through. And the symptoms that we have, usually it's pain, but sometimes it's digestive issues, or it shows up long-term as high blood pressure or diabetes. That's just long-term bad messaging that's been going from the brain to all the different organs. Because if you have that poor posture up at the top of the neck, that bone is definitely limiting the messages from going from the brain to the body. And that's not just to your muscles, it's to all of your systems. So it could be your reproductive system, the digestive system I mentioned, so many different things, your endocrine system, your immunity. All these things are affected by the pressure on the brainstem that's not allowing the proper messages going from top to bottom.
That's amazing. So if somebody comes in and they're stuck and they went from, you know, college to working in their heads, when you shift that, do you see a personality change? Like joy, happiness, euphoria, does effervescence, does that vitality peak out or step forward?
Absolutely. That's the fun part. When you're able to balance your neurology, your body starts to balance chemically, emotionally, all of it. So I sometimes have patients that come in and their main complaint is anxiety or depression. And they just don't know what's wrong and they've tried everything else. Right? And it's just, you look at the scan and you're like, oh my gosh, you are so stuck. And apparently you've been stuck for like 10 years. But it definitely, you know, it gives people a sense of hope, which is the biggest thing. When you can show somebody a scan and it's not like, you know, I moved the bones around and now your nervous system should be working properly. So even on a crappy day, if I show them that this is what their scan looks like and this is what it looks like 15 minutes later, you may not be feeling amazing, but you can see that your body is still working. It's working on it. And so that gives them the hope. And then from there, as our body goes through the healing process, because healing takes time, it doesn't happen overnight, we can see people, you can see a change in their emotions and how they're feeling and what they want to actually get up and exercise and all these things. One of my favorite testimonials from a patient, she made me cry. I saw it on Yelp, and I didn't know she was writing one. But she tells me that, you know, she'd been to 6 or 7 chiropractors in the past, and she was in so much pain. She had this pain down the leg, and she was a hairstylist, and she could barely stand up to do the work that she loved doing. And so after a year of care with me, she's telling me that, you know, she finally got sober, so much weight, started exercising again, and she was completely pain-free. And she told me she has no idea exactly what happened, but she's sure that it has to do with the fact that her brain is connected to her body again. But she was just so motivated to get life going again instead of being stuck in the same pattern neurologically and lifestyle habits.
That's fantastic. Wow. I mean, it's amazing how that can work, how somebody's whole life can shift just by shifting the neurology. I mean, that's really incredible. And then when you were talking about that, the mindset of having to go to a chiropractor and be crunched or for maintenance or whatever that is, and I remember that you were talking about in the Hourglass Bride show that people can come in for health maintenance just to check to make sure you're well, just to get a pat on the head and say you're doing great, you know.
Absolutely.
Sort of validation in your world. So I would love you to share that, because I do think the mindset when you hear chiropractic automatically is having to go in every week to be adjusted. And, you know, I know myself, I've had some amazing chiropractic experiences. And, you know, my experience going in is the chiropractor not wanting to see me again, really wanting me well, and then telling people, this is incredible. And I think that that's really what it should be, that you should be able to go in and be elated that you're healthy and have somebody be able to check in that health. And so I would love you to talk about that side of the coin.
Absolutely. That's actually what completely drew me to upper cervical work. It became about being checked and not about being adjusted. You know, I tell people all the time, going to the chiropractor is not about getting adjusted. If you're always going to get adjusted, it means you keep getting stuck. And we shouldn't keep getting stuck because our body is self-healing. And so when I learned about the upper cervical care and this idea of getting scanned to see if the body is adapting, then it became about giving a precise adjustment and allowing the body to accept that adjustment and hold on to it. Because when you're holding the bone, the adjustment, in the right place, that's when your body's able to go through the healing process. So if you keep needing to be adjusted, that means your body keeps getting stuck. If you're holding your correction, that's when your body is actually healing. And so for me, my goal is to get my patients to hold their adjustment as much as possible. And so in terms of mindset, that's like, you know, when people go in for their routine mammogram or prostate exam. You're going in hoping that nothing's wrong. You're going hoping in that everything is great. And so for me, that's what happens with chiropractic. People start going to the chiropractor to get checked to make sure their brain and their nervous system are functioning properly and hoping that they don't need a correction. And so, you know, most days I'm barely adjusting in my office. You know, I'm doing lots of checking, maybe one or two adjustments, sometimes three or four. It really depends on the day and what's happening in everybody's life. But when we come in and they get checked and I'm like, no, you're doing great today, they're excited. They're not bummed out that they came all the way to my office and paid me money and didn't get adjusted. They're really excited that they came in and they don't need to be adjusted because it means that their body's doing well. And that's their, you know, their peace of mind for knowing that even if you're having a crappy day, your body is still doing what it was designed to do, which is adapt and heal and function well. And so that's where the idea of maintenance care comes in. You don't have to come into the chiropractor and get adjusted for the rest of your life. We'd love for you to come in and get checked to make sure everything's going okay, but I'm really hoping that I don't have to adjust you because that means we're doing the work right.
And at what point should somebody come to you? Is it when they're in pain or when they, you know, can't walk or when they've had a trauma that just won't go away? Or should everybody go in and say, I just want to get checked and make sure that I'm balanced?
I would love for everybody to come in. I'm hoping you don't wait till you're so crippled you can't walk. You know, pain is unfortunately one of the last symptoms to come and one of the first symptoms to go. So even if I do start working with clients sometimes and they're out of pain, I have to remind them that they may not be fully healed yet. But usually pain is one of the last symptoms to arrive. So if you know you're going through a stressful time or you just have a stressful job, it might be nice, or you just went through a physical event in your life, whether it was giving birth or moving across country or you were in a car accident. Even if you're not feeling bad, sometimes it's good just to come in and get checked. Because for me, and the reason my new passion is creating this new healthy generation of kids, is many kids were not checked when they were first born. And they now potentially have had a lifetime of having that misalignment, which has been affecting their neurology from birth. And that's when they're now suffering in their older age from different chronic issues. And so if we can check kids, I said check, not adjust, check kids from birth, then we can make sure that they start their lifetime with proper neurological function and bodies that were created to last from the get-go.
So can you pick up, like, bipolar on a child or something like that if a child is misaligned?
I always like to tell people I don't diagnose health concerns because for me, my function is to make sure that your neurology is working properly. Many times that will clear out multiple health concerns, but we should always look to the neurology first. And then as long as we have the best functioning neurology, then we can look to supporting the body in other ways possible or other ways needed. So, you know, sometimes you have something that's out of your control. If you have high blood pressure that's been high blood pressure for years and you're on medication or, you know, you have some other concern, we want to get the neurology straight so the brain can get the proper messaging to the body. But that doesn't mean that just because we started care, you know, you're off your meds. We need to allow the body to come back to balance and then work with the doctor to kind of help you, if your body is getting better, to kind of start potentially weaning off the medication if that's what it's doing. Because sometimes you'll have an immediate response to care. Sometimes it takes a little while. And so for me, I always tell people, you know, eating healthy, exercising, resting, all those are great things. But they can't completely fix you if your neurology is not working properly. And so I'm all for having a healthy diet and exercising and doing all these different things. I think they're a good support to the care. because you're taking care of the core first, which is your brain and neurology. And then if we need to look at, you know, specific dietary changes because your body's still having a hard time with, you know, whatever it's having a hard time with, then we can look at adding that in. So I always tell people, you know, don't stop doing all your other stuff. First get your neurology straight, and then we kind of look in to see what can be taken out, what can be added in, how we can help support the system. Because the system will need support. Life is chaotic. We have stress. We get into car accidents. Sometimes we eat bad food. We all do it. And, you know, nobody's perfect. And so we do need to support the system because we're going to be pushing it a little bit here and there every now and then. And so having perfect neurology doesn't fix everything. We still need to support the system.
I love this. This is such important information, and I so appreciate it. And now I would love to talk about, you are the baby-making guru. So talk to me about how you became known as the baby-making guru and how that aligns with your practice.
I always think it's fun. I told you, I'm still learning to get used to it, and I've had so many people compliment me on it, and I'm still getting used to it. But for me, I started shifting my practice into preconception health, so getting your body ready to conceive, just in the last year or so. It was one of those things where I love seeing people, I love taking care of their health problems, but I really, really wanted to start focusing on prevention. It's a big thing for me, especially when it comes to little kids. And I was like, well, how can I have the greatest effect on their health? It can have the greatest effect on their health if I start working with their mommies before they're even conceived. And that way we give the best chance for that baby to even get the best genetic material from their parents. And so one of those things that happens is most people don't talk about having babies until they're already pregnant. And so I decided to take a step back and look at what can I name my practice so that people don't come to me once they're already pregnant, hopefully. And we were trying to be silly about it because if you look at any of my information or you meet me, I can potentially be a fairly serious person. I try to have a sense of humor about it, but sometimes I don't look as warm and welcoming as I wish I should. I'm just always thinking all the time, and that's just part of being an introvert. But we were just being silly one day, myself and a friend and a couple of marketing people, and I go, why can't I just name my practice the baby-making guru? And somebody goes, you should! And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that's what it is. And we were just being silly about it, and that's where it came about. And guru for me wasn't the fact that, you know, I'm this extreme expert. I mean, I definitely have experience. I did get myself ready to have a baby myself, and I've helped a couple of other people kind of prep their bodies for the experience. And I know that my success in my own pregnancy came from the year of planning and prepping that I did to get my body ready to conceive so that I could have an easy and healthy experience. So that's where that came from. Be very interesting baby-making guru. But guru in the other sense as well is that we're all teachers. It really goes back to that idea of the fact that our body was designed to last. Our body knows more than us. We need to take a step back, get out of our own educated brain, and allow our bodies to be our own teacher. And every mother is their own teacher. Our bodies know how to literally create life, grow it in our bodies, spell it out when the time is right. Our body is our best teacher. It knows everything already. Way more than our educated brain. And so the guru comes from that aspect as well, is learning that our bodies are our own teachers.
I think it's just fascinating. I really do. And so one of the things that we had talked about that I think is a really important subject is that people carry fear around pregnancy, that a lot of times women won't even say that they're pregnant. For months down the line, it's like they're so afraid to share that they're pregnant because they might lose the baby or something might happen or there might be some sort of judgment. And so could you talk about the fear? Because I think that's a huge subject.
Yeah, I think the biggest fear, and it comes from, you know, it's a social fear. We're afraid that if we tell people that we started trying, then people might wonder why it's taking so long and what's wrong with you or your body. Or if we tell people we're pregnant too early, then and what happens if we have a miscarriage, then, you know, you go through that whole process emotionally. But that all comes from the fear that our bodies don't work right or that it may not be working right. Because that's the only way you're going to lose a pregnancy is if your body wasn't ready to carry the baby or it wasn't ready to make the baby. And so for me, this idea of preconception health is getting your body as ready as possible to do something that it was designed to do. We were designed to make babies. And so anyone that wants to have a baby should be able to have a baby. And it may not be as easy as have sex and get pregnant. Sometimes we put our body through so much crap, it's not ready to get pregnant. And so if we can actually go through the time and energy of becoming neurologically clear so that our body works properly neurologically, and then, you know, looking at our diet and our nutrition and our water intake and managing our fears and our emotions around becoming parents, and looking at exercise and rest and all those things, which are part of my 7 keys to successfully preparing the baby's first home, is to then get the body supported so that it's ready to have the healthiest experience possible. So it's not about just getting pregnant, but it's about loving your body and loving yourself through the pregnancy, because it's supposed to be an enjoyable time. You know, for me, I always find that I think pregnancy is a gift that every woman gets to have. Some people don't enjoy it, but I loved it. And I think I loved it because I got my body ready to enjoy that experience and for it to be as adaptable as possible so that we can have the best experience. And then if you know your body's ready, you're not afraid of not getting pregnant or losing the child because it's adapting, and therefore it should be working fine.
And now you just talked about 7 keys.
Yes.
What are your 7 keys?
So I went back after I was trying to figure out what was going on and what I really wanted to do and how to help create and foster this new generation of kids, and I thought back to what I did during my pregnancy. And so we look at relationships, and then we look at the neurological aspect. Then we have water and rest and exercise and cleansing and nutritionally and supplements, you know, all these different things. Those are most of the 7 right there. I think I covered them all. But those are the different things that I realized that I did. And then I had to sit down and refine exactly what I did, what I wish I did better, you know, what wasn't really necessary. And those are the things I came up with in terms of being able to mentor my clients and my patients that are physically in the office with me of what we should do to get the body ready, as best ready as possible to have the healthiest experience. So, you know, I have patients in the office, which I love seeing. I'm in Agora Hills. But I also created this mentoring program, which is called the 7 Keys to Successfully Preparing Baby's First Home for people, even nationally, who might want this help to get their body ready so that they have the encouragement and the empowerment to get their bodies ready and be excited about creating a family. And so that's really where the 7 Keys program came in. So we take care of the neurology, but we take care of all those other things as well.
That's fantastic. And so can you tell me just a little bit about why some of these things are important, like the rest or water? I mean, I know most people don't think rest is important at all. Rest is at the very bottom of the list of all the things that you need to do to make your life work.
Right. And that's funny because I have people tell me all the time, I don't need that much rest, or I function fine on 4 hours of sleep or 6 hours of sleep. And I'm like, well, you might be functioning, but are you thriving? You know, rest is when our body, when we go to sleep at night, that's when our body gets a chance to do all of its healing and recuperating. And that's the time that our body needs to be able to get us through what we just put it through during the day so that it's ready to wake up and have another day. And the less time we give it, the less healing it's able to go through. And it kind of becomes this issue where, you know, you keep getting less and less sleep and your body's able to do less and less healing. And so if we actually, and that's why people are like, well, I slept and I can function, but I don't feel that great, you know. And I don't want people to wake up feeling like they just ran a marathon in their sleep. I want people to wake up feeling refreshed. Because that means we actually got to heal and we got to rejuvenate, not just got to heal. Because your body spends all that time working at night to go through that healing process. And so if you wake up feeling exhausted, it's because your body worked all night and didn't actually get a chance to rest. And so it needs that time to not only heal but also rejuvenate.
And what happens if you're waking up through the night for people that get up and get down and get up and get down?
So then we're looking at what's causing you to get up and get down. You know, are you having to go to the bathroom a lot? Is that, you know, are you drinking too much water before bed, or do you have bladder concerns? And do we need to look at your neurology to see if that's something that can be fixed, you know, because we're actually connected properly and your body knows to hold it for a little while or void all the way so you're not getting up multiple times? Are you rolling around and waking up in bed because you're in pain? You know, do we need to look at the neurology to make sure that, you know, your muscles aren't all messed up? And sometimes, you know, honestly, if I've cured so many people's pain just by changing how they sleep on their pillow. So sometimes it's actually looking at the bed and the pillow. And then looking at, you know, are your thoughts racing? Like, why are you staying awake? That is so important. Sometimes people are just super stressed out. And so we need to find a way for them to relax or meditate or go through a self-hypnosis or what they need to do to shut their brain off so that they can actually do what they need to do while they're sleeping. So there's so many factors in what could be involved and why people are not sleeping.
I love the idea of rest. It's so funny. I have a friend of mine.
It's one of my favorites.
And he teaches a course called Falling Awake, Dave Ellis. And of all the courses I've ever taken, it's absolutely my favorite course. But he uses an expression called napitate. Oh. And I love napitation. Because I love the idea that you can, even during the day, take that time for yourself, even if your mind is racing, and, you know, put yourself at rest. And so I do think it's so important, I really do, for the body to be able to switch gears and not to run on all cylinders all the time.
It's the absolute favorite room of every single person that walks into my clinic is the resting suite. Because it's quiet, they don't have to think about anything. Most of them even fall asleep in the 15 minutes that they're there, and I have to sadly wake them up. But who doesn't want mandatory nap time? Like, it's amazing to be able to go to sleep for 15 minutes in the middle of the day and just kind of get a quick pick-me-up. You know, all that healing you did even in the 15 minutes in the middle of the day, your body now doesn't have to do at night.
That's fabulous. And then you also, one of your seven keys, you talked about water. And today, in today's world, there's alkaline water, there's kale water, there's all these different types of water. I mean, I know that one of the great comedians, Lewis Clark, talks about how when he was a kid, how he would go outside and turn on the faucet, you know, or in the kitchen and turn on a faucet, and there was water, and water was everywhere. You know, water was the most abundant thing, and now you go to the market and you buy water. And so water is one thing, but is it important what kind of water that people drink?
I think first it's important to make sure you're getting enough water. You know, I don't know how many people have heard the statistic, but it's like 75% of Americans experience chronic dehydration. And by the time you feel like you're thirsty, you're already dehydrated. And so first we just want, my goal initially is just to make sure they're drinking enough water, period. And I love the rule of, you know, you should drink half your body weight in ounces. And so many people, first of all, in the histories I've taken, most people don't even drink their 8 8-ounce glasses that's recommended. But 8 8-ounce glasses is only 64 ounces, which means that's for somebody who's 128 pounds. There are not too many people walking around that are 128 pounds in their adult life. Many women, but definitely not many men. And those people need to realize that if you're not even getting your 8 8-ounce glasses, let alone what you should be getting, your body is suffering because every single cell in your body needs that water to function, including your brain cells. And so your whole body is completely thrown off and can't function well if you're not able to get enough water into your system and then allow it to be used to help flush out all your toxins. And so getting the water is extremely important. For me, I personally try to drink 2 to 3 liters a day, and I'm 125-ish pounds now, I think, last I checked. So it's so important to get that water in to be hydrated. You can clean out so many health problems just from drinking enough water, which is one of the biggest things. And then definitely, I mean, there's differences in the different types of waters. I usually don't recommend bottled water. That water's been sitting a long time in those plastic bottles, and those plastic bottles are leaching toxins into your water. So sometimes I think it's even better to just drink straight from the tap. But I have different levels. I think everybody's at a different place in their life, and I'm definitely a proponent of do what you can now until you can get to what you want to do later. I personally say if you can't, I mean, don't drink from bottled water. If you can avoid it, please don't. But you can start off with a Brita pitcher. It gets out the basics. You know, then if you can afford a system like a Multipure or a Kangen where you're, you know, elevating the quality of the water, then that is even better for you. I do love Kangen water, the idea that it's alkalized because we're so acidic, as well as ionized, and that allows our bodies to help get rid of those free radicals and function better. So we're actually helping our body heal through our water. And, you know, we're not all up at that level. I would love to have a Kangen system one day. It's definitely my favorite, and it's really one of the only few systems that is medical grade and is purchase it as a customer, as a consumer. And so that's really cool. But just don't drink the bottled water, please. And if you're carrying your bottle of water around, I always recommend, you know, if you know how much water you need to drink. So I carry a 32-ounce bottle with me. I just put 3 rubber bands around it. So I know, you know, once I have a liter, I take off a rubber band. If I have another liter, I take off a rubber band so that I know I'm getting the right amount every day. And if you can drink it in glass or steel, that's always better. Otherwise, the BPA-free plastic. But just don't refill one of those plastic water bottles from the supermarket, please. That's my very long rant on water.
No, I so appreciate it because I think that's so important when we talk about things like rest and water, and you talked about nutrition, you know, as well. And I know people don't know, you know, they hear so much, you know, hear about the GMOs or somebody should be gluten-free, and we think things are natural when they're not natural at all, or even because we buy them at a store that sells natural products, or that we think, you know, is a health food store or something along that line. And so knowing the proper nutrition, you know, for your particular body, for your lifestyle,
right.
If you are interested in getting pregnant, if you are interested in running a triathlon, if you are interested in closing a business deal, or you have a newborn baby and need to be up with the baby, or you're breastfeeding, they're, you know, so do you go through with somebody for their own personal lifestyle, the very best nutritional products for them?
So what I do mostly, especially because I've been trained in nutrition, but not to the degree that some people have been trained in nutrition. So for me, my goal always first is to see where they're at and what their goals are and what they're willing to do, because it doesn't work if you're not willing to do something I recommend. And to first really just get back to a lifestyle of getting, you know, fast food out of the diet, preferably, or completely limiting it if it's something you're not willing to do. And really going back to not eating as many processed foods and eating more whole foods. Once we kind of get you to just a simple, clean diet, and then you particularly might want, you know, a specific diet based on because you need to be gluten-free or dairy-free or whatever that may be, then I will potentially refer out to somebody that I know who's a nutritionist or who has the greater experience on dealing with specific types of diets and what needs to be done from that point. But my goal is really just to simply have people on a clean diet first, because so many people aren't, and then from that point move forward to see what we can do to help them get even better.
Right. And then it's interesting because you always hear, you know, you talk to people. I know when I had my fitness studios, somebody would say, well, you know, I can't eat healthy because I have 3 boys. And so we always have this stuff in the household. The kids shouldn't be eating that either, but people don't even think that way.
Oh, my gosh.
You know,
you have
no idea.
About
people just being stuck and in their mindset, in their consciousness.
And that was another big reason I made this shift. For me, it is really, I started my way with what I wanted to do and how I prepared my body, and then I realized it became this idea of creating new lifestyle habits. And so when we knew we wanted to start a family, my husband and I cleaned up our own lifestyles first, so that by the time we had our daughter and were teaching her, you know, what to eat and what's good for her, we were already eating clean. And so from that point, it was just teaching her what is good, healthy eating habits and what's not good for you and why, you know, why we shouldn't eat certain things and having healthy alternatives for her. So it's not like my daughter doesn't, I mean, honestly, my daughter really doesn't eat too much junk food, which I'm so thankful for. I literally, she, it's her first day of her religious education classes today. I'm a proud mommy. She just turned 4 and started that system, but I dropped her off this morning. And I literally took a snack with me for her because I didn't know what they were going to be serving. And so I found out they were having pizza, and I was like, honestly, she gets pizza, but she gets healthy pizza when they get home, so she doesn't eat the stuff that comes from the other stores. And so she asked me, you know, what am I taking for snack this morning, Mommy? And I was like, what do you want? She goes, I'd like string cheese and grapes and some cucumber, please. And that's her diet. Like, she loves eating fruits and vegetables, and we taught that to her from the beginning. So it's not like my daughter doesn't get pizza. We just eat the healthy pizza we make at home. Or it's not that my daughter doesn't get chocolates and candy. She eats 85% dark chocolate because that's what she knows and that's what she loves. And she doesn't care that the other kids are eating the other stuff. She knows that she's still getting a treat, but she just is getting a way better treat as far as I'm concerned. you know, so we still eat different things, and she gets to eat ice cream, she gets to eat cookies. We didn't start any of that. She didn't have her first big piece of cake till she was 3 for her 3rd birthday. You know, it's at a point is where do you start bringing in certain things, and what's the quantity that you're feeding them? So, you know, even when Karina eats cake or cookies or ice cream, she's getting Karina-sized portions for a 4-year-old, not for a 32-year-old. So it's just learning those habits so that you can teach them to them when they're younger. And then it's not about, you know, well, I eat this way and my kid eats this way. We all eat the same way. It just depends on what portion each of us is eating and what's the quality of the food we're eating. And so she already knows. She knows. She's like, you know, why do other kids eat that bad food? And I'm like, you know, maybe their parents just don't know. It's not that, you know, their parents don't care. Maybe their parents just don't know what they could be doing to help their kids eat better or to do it on a budget. Because everybody's like, you know, do you eat all organic all the time? And I'm like, I can't afford to eat all organic all the time, to be perfectly honest. But we do what we need to do to have the healthiest lifestyle possible for our kid. So you don't have to go all off the deep end with having a huge, you know, spending allowance for your foods either.
That's fabulous. I mean, it's just, it's such great information. It's something we can all do and all aspire to, and just amazing. And I know that one of the other things that you're really known for, and there's so much that you're known for, we could just talk for days instead of the show.
Thank
you.
You
work with couples as well as individuals in creating a conscious lifestyle. And so I would love, because I know that everybody feels like they have to do it on their own and they have to handle it. So many times people don't even share with their spouse when they're not feeling well. They
Absolutely.
Go off on their own and they see a doctor or something. So, you know, so I love to talk about that subject of sharing wellness with your partner, with your mate, with your spouse, with your beloved, and with your family.
Absolutely. So for me, that came back to that, you know, the creating healthy lifestyle habits. And you can't do it, you know, one person, the family is super healthy and the other one eats whatever they want and, you know, all the fast food and all that stuff. You have to do it as a family to create those lifestyle habits. And even before that, I love working with couples right as they're getting ready to get married, because at that point, they know that they want to spend the rest of their life with this person. And we are all assuming that the rest of our life with this person is into their 80s or 90s, at least. We're not assuming that that might end in the next 10 or 15 years. And what I've seen lately is that everybody is so stressed out and they may be so neurologically compromised that they have all these chronic health concerns by the time they're in their 30s or 40s. And I've met many people who have had heart attacks in their 40s from just all-out body wear, tear, done, like in their 40s. And I don't think it's okay for people to be struggling so early in their lifetime. And so if we can take a step back and look at our health as a couple, what are we going to do to make sure that we're around for our happily ever after, right? Like, we have our beautiful wedding day, and we know that we're going to have a happily ever after, but how long is it going to be, and what are we going to do? How are we going to fight to make sure that we have our spouse on this earth for as long as we possibly can? Because there's too many people that are dying too soon, and it can definitely be preventable. And it's learning to make those habits as a couple when we start to looking at how we live our life and how we shift our mindset to what is healthy and what is not healthy for us, and what can we do to prolong our lives as long as possible. Because our bodies were designed to last a lifetime. It's making sure that we're able to support them to get through it. And then taking it a step further, if we're actually looking at making that change in our health and our lifestyle and making sure that we're neurologically balanced when we get married, then by the time we're ready to have kids, our bodies are ready to do that. And then at that point, mommy and daddy are both giving the best genes that they can offer to their kid to have that healthy life before they've even, you know, had their first breath. Now they have the best functioning genes that they can get from their parents as well. And so doing it as a couple is really creating that life together and making the decision to consciously create new and better habits and a healthier lifestyle.
And then what happens if people are getting up in years and somebody is in pain or somebody, you know, fell or whatever it is, and they end up coming to you? And then how do they at that point, if they've been married 25, 30 years, whatever, talk to their spouse and say, okay, so I found this road to wellness that can give us a better life even now, and come with me on this journey?
That's a hard one. I think open communication is one of the biggest things. There are so many times in marriage where we just start assuming things of each other, and that happens really early, and it just kind of potentially gets worse and worse over time. And so I always like to share couples, you know, from the beginning to just be as open as possible as you can. That starts with, you know, about your health and your concern for each other, as well as your any fears or surrounding having a baby and your life and your future. But if you're already at that point, then it's really having, it's still the same. It's sitting down and having a serious conversation about, you know, how are you feeling? Where are you at? What's going on in our lives? What are we willing to do to continue being together for the rest of our lives in the best health possible? You know, nobody wants to get to their 80s and have to be able to be taking care of their kids and, you know, need to rely on somebody else to keep them going. We don't want to be crippled on our deathbed. We want to enjoy life till the very last breath. And so then it becomes about looking at what can we do to maintain the healthiest lifestyle possible until our dying breath. Mm-hmm. And being serious about it. It's a serious conversation.
It is a serious conversation, but it's an important conversation, as is the conversation when you're starting your life together, when you're getting mm-hmm. married and saying, how are we going to handle our health, or how are we going to, what's our lifestyle going to be like, and are we going to exercise, and what are we going to eat, and where are we going to go, and, you know, mm-hmm. get sunshine and all of those things. And one of the things that I loved when I was reading some of your quotes, and I had pulled this and I was reading it at the top of the show, was you were talking about, you know, that they spend, couples spend so much time thinking about the nursery colors or the registry items or frivolous things that aren't going to matter in a few years, but how they could affect the health of their children for their entire life if they spent that same amount of time and energy preparing for the baby's first home, which is the mother's womb. And I love that. I absolutely love that, because people do. They spend an insane amount of time thinking about their registry items or what they're going to decorate their house or the right roses for their front yard or whatever that is. And so how do we shift consciousness? How do we shift our thoughts at that point to be able to say, I'm going to reprioritize here because this really is what's going to give me the life that I've dreamt about?
I'm hoping it's that everybody gets to hear my aha moment, and that just makes it easier for everybody else. Because, man, when I have that aha moment, I was literally cursing my little mouth off going, I totally did that. I mean, thankfully, I also had the moment to actually, like, for me, the preparation the first time around was just something that I wanted to do. But I also spend the crazy amounts of time on thinking about what I wanted on my nursery and all that other stuff. And I was like, how could I have made it even better if I had spent that extra time on prepping my body a little bit differently? You know, I actually spent the time, and it was a conscious decision I'd made. But then when I went back and thought about all these other things that everybody does, it was a total aha moment where I was like, I'm an idiot sometimes. Like, you know, like we are so ingrained in what we think should happen when you have a baby that we forget about, you know, what could really have an impact on that baby. And there's so many studies and different things coming up about, you know, how our health, not only during pregnancy, but before pregnancy, can affect the experience we have as well as how it can change the health of our kid. And so for me, it's being able to get out and share with as many people as possible about my aha moment, hoping that it gives them an aha moment too.
That's great. That's absolutely terrific. It really is. Because I think all of those things are so vitally important to be able to express and to be able to explore and to be able to truly step into the world and life that we journey and that we're looking and longing for. So it's just perfect. And when I always like to ask people for descriptions or for definitions. And so what does health mean to you?
For me, health is actually not only a physical well-being, but a state of mindset. And I shared this with you, I think, last time too, but I never, ever have any fear surrounding this mindset. In terms of health for me is the peace of mind of knowing that my body is doing what it was designed to do, which is why I love upper cervical care. You know, even on my crappiest days and on some of my patients' crappiest days, when we take that scan and we see that the body is not stuck, that means even if you feel crappy, your body is still working on it. For me, that's peace of mind and knowing that it's healing. It may not be perfect yet, but it's still working like it should be. It's not stuck. And so for me, health is not only feeling, you know, good all the time. Sometimes it's feeling crappy, but still knowing that my body's working on it and having that peace of mind.
Excellent definition. It really is. And then at what age, I know you were talking just a little bit about children, can babies be adjusted? Can little kids be adjusted or see a chiropractor?
Absolutely. My daughter was checked when she was 14 hours old, I believe. I had her late at night. I think by the time the midwives left our home, it was almost midnight. So we kind of all just slept and waited to have her checked. Even though it was a long birth, a long labor, she still, when we checked her, came out perfectly balanced. And that was probably my proudest moment as a mommy and a chiropractor, is she came out beautifully balanced even after a really, really long labor. But I think it's important for every child to get checked at birth to make sure that, you know, as they have their first breath, their body is ready to do what it needs to do to grow and develop and thrive. And so, you know, I'm hoping that kids don't need to be adjusted. I'm hoping that I can check them and they're perfectly fine. But if they do need to be adjusted, then it's so safe and so specific and almost no force to be able to move that tiny little bone that's surrounding their brain stem and to open up and free the life force that's going from their brain to their body. And so it's a very safe and peaceful process for them. Getting adjusted really doesn't have to be that twisting, popping, cracking noise. Even for the adults I see, there's no twisting, popping, or cracking. Usually they're like, whoa, that's it. But giving them that chance to have that unlimited life from the beginning, that experience of what it feels like to have your brain and your body working properly, I think every kid should experience that. And hopefully we can adjust them as little as possible.
That's fantastic. And then what about teenagers that are going through growing pains? Because I would think that would be a time when the body every day is shifting, as you talk about checking.
Absolutely.
And rechecking somebody.
Yeah, and that's really what checking is all about, is, you know, we're going through those changes through puberty, all that stuff in our body should be adapting. And that's really the goal of getting checked, is just to say, hey, is your body still adapting? And if it is, that's great. If it's not adapting and it got stuck, we'll make the adjustment. But the goal is really, it goes to back to that checking. So anybody and everybody can get checked at any point in time in their life to to make sure that they're not stuck and to make sure that their body is adapting and going through that process of growth and health and life, to make sure that you're functioning the way that you were designed to function.
I just think this is such an important subject and such an important topic, and I wanted to quickly just go back to your seven keys, because I love that there are things that came up in your own world and your own life, and that's always really wonderful, because I know that for myself, people ask me almost on a daily basis, how do you do it? You know, because I really live the unlimited life, and I do the high-wire trapeze, and I fly 25 feet in the air, and I ride bareback horses, and you know, travel the world and do whatever it is I do. And people constantly say, how do you do that? How do you do that? How do you do what you do? How do you do that? And I always have to stop and think and pause for a moment. How do I do what I do? And to be able to share and to nurture somebody so they can have a life that's unlimited as well. And so I love the fact that you've taken the time to sort of hone these down to seven viable keys that other people can use and move forward in their life. And so is this a program that you have, your seven keys online for people that are... Okay, so tell me about that, because I know people are listening and saying, how do we work with her and we're in Malta?
Okay, so the seven keys, it's really called the seven keys to successfully preparing baby's first home, which is the mother's womb. But the seven keys are really for anybody at any point in time in their life. I would just like women to start doing it before they start thinking about babies. But the seven keys really can be done with anybody at any point in time. And for me, they're that relationship management, the brain-body adaptation, that chiropractic care, the cleansing, the nutrition, the rest, the exercise, the water, all those things. And my website, actually the blog part of my website on thebabymaking.guru, is different topics. I always like to pick a new topic every week. It's a little behind right now because it just opened a new practice. But it's a little, I like to cover different topics every week from those seven keys, and talk about how they're related to health or how they're related to preconception, how they're related to pregnancy, all different aspects. And so the blog is called thebabymaking.guru, but really you can apply it to any point in time in your life. And the Seven Keys program that I have is a six-month consulting program to help women who want to get their bodies ready for pregnancy. And we kind of dig deeper into your own personal life and where you're at and how we can help you get to the healthiest point possible before you start trying to conceive. And the biggest one for me is that first step. And so if anybody wants to leave their name and email, I actually have a video that I can send you. It's called The Number One Overlooked Thing You Should Do Before Trying to Conceive. It's actually my favorite key. And so that's one of the things that I love talking about as well. And so that's the information that's on the website there.
That's great. And so is the website thebabymakingguru.com for the website, which is different than
the
setting
key? No, actually, so it's thebabymaking.guru. So it's not a .com, it's a .guru.
Okay.
Yes. And so that has the Seven Keys mentoring program is on that site as well. And I cover the seven keys and different topics in the blog. And then for anybody that also wants just information about upper cervical care in general or how that might help a health concern, then I also have my main website, which is drnamira.com. So it's just drmyfirstname.com.
That's great. And can you spell Namira for our audience out there?
Sure. It's N as in Nancy, I, M as in Mary, I-R-A. And it's doctor with a D-R, not spelled out.
It's so wonderful. And it's always nice, you know, for people, because I know we have all these people listening to the show, this wonderful audience internationally, and people are listening from South Africa, from Malta, from Brazil, and then I have these guests on, and they're like, how do I get there? How do I work with them? I get emails and letters from people saying, how do I find this person, and how do I find the material? And so it's so wonderful that you're so accessible to help so many people.
Well, I'm definitely... And I love helping people all over, so my consulting program is definitely anywhere, anytime. But I'm connected with upper cervical chiropractors all over the country as well as the world. So if anybody ever wants to find somebody local, they can still go to my website, just pop some information into the contact me box and let me know where you live, and I'll find you an upper cervical chiropractor in your area. So I still want you to be able to get the best care that you can get as close to home as possible.
So appreciate that. And we just have a couple minutes left, so I guess I wanted to ask you, first step, what would be the first step for somebody that's looking to have a more conscious lifestyle for themselves or for their families?
For me personally, because I am a chiropractor, I'm going to say that it's really about changing your mindset and looking at how your body functions. Like, are you going to look at your nutrition, exercise, rest, which even though they're all very healthy things, are still an outside-in approach, because you're looking at how you can take care of your body from the outside and looking at your external environment? Or are you going to look at your internal environment and take care of your internal body first by looking at your brain and neurology? So for me, I always like to take care of my internal environment first, and that's my mindset. It's how I've trained myself to think. If something's going on, or if I want to be healthier, or if I have a health problem, I always look to my internal environment first to say, is my brain and nervous system working properly? And if it is, then I look to my external environment in terms of stress management, nutrition, rest, exercise, all those things. So it's looking to make a shift in the mindset of how do we think of our body and how is it functioning and how is it designed to function before doing all those other things.
It's great advice. It's phenomenal. It truly is. And it's so wonderful to have you here with us. And
Thank you.
Appreciate your generosity and your time and your experience and your expertise. And truly, I mean, I've been honored and I've been privileged because I've had the opportunity to interview so many doctors through the years and so many healthcare practitioners. And sometimes you just meet somebody and you say yes. And you know that that person is so aligned with consciousness and they're so aligned with health and they're so aligned with wellness. And I know that I felt that and knew that immediately when I met you. And you were such a radiant light, and you were so giving with your time and your information, and you were so dedicated and so devoted to really making a difference in people's life and in the future of their family. And so I'm, you know, so lucky and so proud to have you on the show. And for all of those that are listening, I, you know, hope that they rush and race to work with you, because I really know that your work will make a difference in each and every one of their individual lives.
Thank you so much for having me. I always like to share with people, you know, I just really believe that we were put on this earth to love and serve each other. And so this is my way of being able to do so, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to share so that I can do it even more.
Oh, well, thank you. We look forward to having you back, and we look forward to hearing more on your new practice, and I love to hear from all of you that go to see Dr. Namira, because I just know that you'll be overjoyed, and I love to be able to bring you the tools and the techniques to be able to truly live that kind of unlimited life that you've all been dreaming about. So, Dr. Namira, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Wow, what an amazing guest. That's what you wish for. That's what you hope for, to have a doctor that is that dedicated, somebody that is that aligned with consciousness, with lifestyle, with thought, who's taken a practice beyond the scope of the practice and even created a doorway for months before life begins to be able to work with life, to be able to help create a conscious family and a conscious life and a conscious way of living, to be able to make having a child, creating a child, birthing a child a blissful experience, that people aren't in fear, that you don't have that fear of not wanting to tell people that you're pregnant because what if something goes wrong with the pregnancy, or that you have so much fear that you can't get pregnant, and to be able to relinquish what she calls being stuck. Areas in your emotional body, your spiritual body, your physical body that have kept you where you are for years. Either your health, your weight, your state of depression, where you are in any state in your life, and to be able to sort of uncork that so the magic genie in you comes out and that magical creature comes out that really longs and yearns and knows that this unlimited health and vitality is possible. And to be able to live, like she said, you know, pain-free lifestyle, joy, happiness, and for it to be a way of life that you don't really think about it, and how pain is the last thing to come and the first thing to go. But aligning yourself and knowing that you're well and being on those steps and stages every day, from what we eat and from what we drink and the amount of water that we drink, all of these wonderful keys to really leading a healthy lifestyle. And I absolutely love when she talks about the amount of time that we put into decorating a nursery or into registering for a wedding and all of these things that we plan, but we don't actually plan to have a healthy child and to have a healthy lifestyle and a life really of that unbridled joy that we know that is possible. So such a joy, such an honor to have her on the show. And then we have a couple of amazing guests coming up that I'm just so excited for. We've been talking about Dr. Katia coming on, and she's a psychologist that teaches people through tango dancing. And the first time I heard this, I went, what? She does what? And I've actually gone and watched a demonstration of this process. And as we're talking today with Dr. Namira about being stuck and how people get stuck, she is able to work with people through movement and their emotional body through movement to get through another stage in their life or past a border or boundary or a fear or a wall. And it's absolutely fascinating. It's riveting, and the results have been amazing. And so she's going to talk to us about how that works and how just changing the position of the body, moving towards something or away from something, and how our body is connected to those emotions, and how she is able to get people to the other side of these walls in lickety-split time and in a way that just lasts forever, where they really are living a different and a happier and a healthier way of life. She is phenomenal. And then we have Melissa Terry coming up. And Melissa Terry is one of my very favorite guests of all time. I think I've brought on every show that I've ever done, and so I'm so grateful that she's coming on this show, because even on our Hourglass Bride show that we have, I think she's the number one show that has been downloaded. And her information, no matter what the subject that she's talking about, is always so profound. But she specializes in teaching people how to free themselves for joy. And so whether you've been raped or abused and you're looking to find love or trust love, or whether you're afraid of success in your own life, you're afraid to make the money that you know you're worth, you're afraid to get that raise, you're afraid to start your own business, but how you free yourself for joy, how you unleash that key, how you open yourself to have that kind of life you know you are meant to live and that you deserve. She is incredible. I know that every time I have her on, I'm taking pages and pages and pages of notes, and then I'm thinking, oh, yes, I have to ask her a question. And she is one of the loveliest people that I've ever met, and her information is profound. And I know that when she is on the show and we make it a live show, we've had so many callers on the line that we have hours worth of backup that we've had to bring her on several times just to answer all of our callers' questions. And so I will let you know she's on in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I believe, and I will post it, and I will make sure that you know that that's a live show so you can call in and talk to her. And she is just remarkable, seamless, effortless in her information. So just always fantastic. So for today, I want to thank Dr. Namira. That was the most beautiful information, and her work is really impeccable. The work that she's doing with women, helping them create life, with couples, helping them create a healthier life, and with children, giving them a life and a future that they can look forward to, and a life that is not only pain-free, but joyful, happy, effervescent, and a new generation of healthy and happy kids, which is really her divine purpose. and what she looks at as her calling, and nobody I've ever met or have come across is doing the kind of work. And when you're working with her, you feel as if you're the only person in the world. Her time is your time. Her dedication and her heart is in making you well and really making your dreams come true and offering you this kind of life that is absolutely possible to live. So thank you, Dr. Namira. Looking forward to Melissa Terry. Looking forward to Dr. Katia. And for all of you out there, it's always wonderful to have you with me today, as always. And this is Nicole Brandon from Unlimited Life, wishing you the unlimited life of your dreams.